Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you today. We're glad that you're with us on this, let me see where I'm at here, 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome all of you, and we are glad that you're with us. And also we want to welcome all of those that will be listening online later on. And we are so glad that you are a part of our worship experience today, as we open our hearts to the Lord and receive of His grace today. And that's what I'm going to be talking about later on today, living in the goodness and how that involves God's grace in our lives. So as we begin our service this morning, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. We come joyfully to the house of the Lord.
We bring our praise and offer our lives to God.
This is our sacrifice, our voices raised to God.
We celebrate God's love with our voices and lives.
Come, let us celebrate the goodness of God. Well, let's join together this morning as we sing about God's goodness in our lives with that hymn, God Will Take Care of You, 368, or you can follow along there on the PowerPoint this morning. Three verses.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you through days of toil.
Let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. Almighty God, everywhere we look, we see the imprint of your goodness and the wonders of your grace. As we gather today to celebrate your amazing love, prepare us for good things as we walk in your grace every day. Amen. And you may be seated, and the choir is going to be coming and singing for us this morning. Thank you for helping us out there, choir. We appreciate it so much. Come on. Come on. All the girls. And my boy. You're with me. It's just you and I against all the girls today. How many of you like to get presents? Do you like birthday presents?
Yes.
Yeah. How about Christmas presents? You know what I get excited about every Christmas? Is when I look in my stocking and there's a big bag of peanut M&Ms. That's like one of my favorite Christmas presents every year. God's presents are to us. What do you think?
Santa,
yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. St. Nicholas, yes. He was a present to those people that lived back then. And then we know Santa continues. Continues to bring us things even to this day. What else? What else do you think is a present from God?
The Easter Bunny.
Well, maybe the Easter Bunny. That could be. Yes, yes. Do you like hiding eggs and trying to find them? Sure about. And as they're heading down, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer today. Someone this morning. Yes. Okay, so we got Trevor. We know we've been praying for him for a long time, battling, and definitely want to keep him and his family and loved ones in prayer. for Sarah, who's battling pneumonia and COVID, which is just a tough combination, yes. And yeah, good. Okay. Unspoken this morning. Someone else. Someone else this morning. Yes, lots of those, and thank Sue. She made a copy and gave me that list before church today. So lots of them, Sarah with pneumonia, Debbie with COVID, battling COVID, Janice with the breathing issues. Brandon, we thank God that he is doing so much better, but we want to continue praying for him. And then is the mom Olive then? Is that the mom?
Yes.
Okay. And that's, we want to continue praying for her, the couple with the fire, and the Haiti missionaries and all that's going on with that situation right now. Someone else. Yeah. I'm always thankful to the Lord when issues like that get resolved, that you're trying to be a peacemaker or whatever you want to say in those kind of situations.
She was at the gas station and somebody.
Okay.
Was there.
Wow.
She just got her phone and actually they were able to trace the phone to get the guy.
Wow. That's crazy. Yes, it could have. Wow. Thank God. Someone else. Someone else this morning. We have a couple others. We want to continue praying for Georgia and asking for God's grace and touch upon her. Asking for continued prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce. The first week, I think, or so of November, he'll be getting his PET scan. And then we'll know, we're really praying that that last spot on his lung will be gone. Then the cancer doctor said that he'll probably just be able to be treated with a cancer pill or a chemo pill for the rest of his life, just to keep that spot in his colon, which initially started everything, at bay. Because it's not, outside of those few spreads, it's not done much else. So we're grateful for that. The Reed family, the Baird family, continued prayers for Betty. asking God's continued healing. She will know in December when she goes to get her scans and find out if the radiation treatments worked. And in between, we just want to continue praying for that. Jackie Painter had texted me about Griffin on our monthly list that we've been praying for so long. She had sent me an email, and I was not able to access that this morning since here. So I don't know what it's about, but we just need to lift up Griffin to you, or to the Lord this morning. Okay. So he's taking a turn for the worse. Okay. And then, let's see. I thought there was something else. I guess not. Any others then this morning? Yes.
They were talking yesterday, and I don't know a whole lot, but the tenant lady, I'm not really sure what her first name is.
Oh, Jen. Or Jennifer. Yes, Jen. Yes. Yeah, she really does need prayers. And I, you know what? It's the weirdest thing why I never thought to put her on our prayer concerns and our monthly list. But she is one of Chase's teammates, soccer mom. And she is battling it's like an autoimmune disease where she cannot really keep much food down at all. And when she gets weak, we've seen her out at soccer games with an IV bag hanging and getting nutrients at those times. And her medical expenses have gone beyond her insurance coverage, and they've cut her off. So her bills are like crazy. So at council the other night, we decided that the entire $1,300 from the pot pie supper is going to go to help her out with some of those expenses. And I talked to her, and she has a separate account now that whatever she receives goes into that account, and it only then is taken out and goes to pay their medical bills in that area. Her husband, some of you know, is Todd Tennant. He is a deputy sheriff for Miami County. And so some of you may know Todd. We appreciate your prayers for her. And thank you so much for bringing her up. And yes, and definitely need to keep her in our prayers. I'm going to try to get her on our monthly list then. So any others this morning? Yes, she was mentioned already. Yeah, we definitely want to do that. So, any others then? Yes.
Can you keep Elise? She had her scan yesterday to see if anything's changed, or else if anything hasn't helped, they're just going to stop. And Uriah, he has some.
It what? Okay, so we want to remember Elise. She's been on our monthly list for a while. And then Uriah, which is my nephew, my sister's son there. He was released, or he lost his job when the person he worked for in the state of Pennsylvania lost his job. And so he's been trying to get in, and it's been very tough since then. So lots to pray for this morning. Give you an opportunity to pray as some of these names come to your mind, and then I'll close us out. Thank you. Our gracious God, as we pause today, we are very thankful for your love and your grace that has been extended into our lives through Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the Apostle Paul told us that sometimes when we're not sure how to pray, that the Spirit that lives within us helps us to be able to pray at times, sometimes only with groans, because we're hurting for those that are hurting so bad in life. And today, there's been a lot of people mentioned today, folks that are facing a lot of pain and suffering and so many different things. And so we want to lift them up today. And so we ask for your touch upon Sarah, who's battling the COVID and pneumonia, and Debbie, who is also battling COVID and is on the vent, Lord. And we think of Brandon today and Olive today and Janice and all of them that have been mentioned that are battling in so many different ways for your healing touch there. Lord, for Griffin today that's taking a turn for the worse, God, we just ask for your healing touch and intervention there. We pray for Trevor today, God. We just commit him into your care, Lord, and ask for your grace for him and for his family, Lord, during this time. And we lift up Jennifer to you, God, asking for your healing touch, Lord. She just really needs a miracle. And God, we just ask that you would do that miracle in her life. We think of Elise today, God, asking for some type of a good report or something, some good news there. We ask that your continued healing hand will be with her. We lift up the Haiti missionaries, God, and all of them, Lord, that you will protect them and keep them safe, and somehow they'll be able to make a way to be able to get them all back with their away from the situation there and this hostage situation and back to where they need to be. Lord, we pray for the couple and that lost their home in this fire. And that new baby that was coming along, God, we just ask for your grace and your comfort and your peace right now. And Lord, we lift up this unspoken need. And Lord, there may be others today that maybe there's something, a need in their lives that they couldn't share. We just ask for your touch today and your grace. We lift up Georgia to you, Lord, asking for your continued healing strength there, that she will gain strength in her lungs and keep those oxygen levels up as she does various things. We lift up Betty to you, God. We're just continuing to ask for your healing touch and that, Lord, as she goes in December, that there will be a good report. We pray for Bruce today. Lord, we're asking the same thing for your healing touch there in his brain there in that spot where he was bleeding and recovery there. And Lord, that last spot on his lung, Lord, and Lord, we're just trusting you for a good report when he goes in for his scan in this next week or so. And Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for what you've done for Richard, God, and we just rejoice today in that good news and thank you for that. We continue to lift up our first responders, our medical personnel, and all of those that are just in on the front lines of fighting all of this. And we just ask for your touch there. We lift up the Reed and Bear family, God, continuing to ask for your comfort and grace with the loss of those loved ones. And Lord, we just lift up Uriah today, God, that you will open up that door and make a way where there seems to be no way, and that it'll be the door that he's supposed to step through and receive, as we thank you for that today. And Lord, we thank you for hearing us, and we just ask your blessing upon the rest of our service. Lord, as we break the bread of your word, may you speak to our hearts and encourage us and lift us up and use us as grace bearers that extend your grace into our world of the people that we come in contact with. As we ask all of these things now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us in agreeance as we pray. I think it makes a great difference every time we do. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And as I always share, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And God is the one that is always the one that cares for us and watches over us and gives us the strength and ability to work hard and make a living for our lives. And so we give God thanks for that. And as we give today, so as our ushers come, God bless you as you give. Join together there for our dedication. Generous God, you have graced us in ways beyond our deserving. As we bring these offerings, may they be blessed towards usefulness in your kingdom work. Amen. And you may be seated this morning as we continue on in our series today. We're going to be looking at a couple different passages, three of them. One of them is real short, the other two. And so the beginning one will be in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 31 through 34a. After they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's word with confidence. The community of believers were one in heart and mind. None of them would say, this is mine, about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 9a, we have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourselves to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Love should be shown without pretending. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, I had been sharing some funny things lately about kids, so I'm going to do a few more of those, and here's one this morning. A 6-year-old Angie and her 4-year-old brother Joel were sitting in church one Sunday. Joel started giggling, sang, and began talking out loud. Finally, his big sister had had enough. "You're not supposed to talk out loud in church." "Why? Who's going to stop me?" Joel asked. Angie, his sister, turned around and pointed to the back of the church and said, "You see those two people back there? They're hushers." There you go. Butch and Brad, you didn't know you were hushers this morning. As we continue in our series on living in the goodness of God, I want to talk to you this morning about how it involves extending grace. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that God is only interested in helping good people, perfect people who have it all together, people who never make any mistakes, people who never give in to temptation. And they have this mistaken idea that if our performance is good enough, then we can expect God's goodness and grace in our lives. Well, the truth is, it's just the opposite of that. When we blow it, God doesn't turn away from us. God turns to us with grace. When we are having doubts about our faith, God doesn't say, "What's wrong with you? You should have more faith." No, God comes to us in our time of need. That's how a relationship of grace works. That's how we grow in the goodness of God. And God calls us, as we're going to see here in a little bit, to form families of faith, churches of grace, to follow God's example. Even in John chapter 1, when Jesus came into the world, we are told that Jesus didn't come into the world angry and ready to smack people around, like some of the Jews thought in the first century that the Messiah was going to come and smack those Romans around and set them in order. No, John tells us when he came into the world, he came into the world full of grace and truth. So as we ponder grace this morning, I want us to consider two things. First of all, as I was sharing with the kids this morning, or trying to get that point across, is that as grace as gift this morning. Grace as gift. John Barclay, who teaches at Durham University in England in the Divinity School, which is for mainly training Anglican priests in England, he wrote a big book on grace in Paul's writings. And he went through all the sources way back into Greco-Roman times and all in the first century. And this is what he came down with. That grace always means gift. Gift. And so here's what I want you to see this morning. That grace is God's favor given to us, the church. In fact, we can expand that even further and say that God's grace is God's gift and favor extended to everybody. Now, in our reading from Acts this morning, when Luke describes the grace that is at work among the people of God, notice what kinds of things he talks about. People receiving the message of Jesus and responding to it. People being healed. People's needs being met. And as I was thinking about that, as I read that passage, I had to ask myself, is this not living in God's goodness? Isn't that what it's all about? When Paul describes grace at work in the church, he goes a step further and looks at it this way. He speaks of people acting according to their giftings in the body of Christ. He says, if some of you, and let me clarify, when he says prophecy, when we read that, he's not talking about somebody predicting the end of the world or the end times. That's an American way of thinking of things. All he's doing is saying, if you have a word from the Lord, don't hold back on it. Speak it up. You may be a blessing into somebody's life and build them up in the faith. And he goes on and talks about service and leadership and giving and all of these various aspects from Romans. And notice the passage we read in 1 Corinthians. That's the one that's the most important. Why do we operate in our gifts? Why is it each of us? Why is it that David is passionate about leading the choir and music? Because he's gifted them. And when he does that, what happens? The church is built up. What about you this morning? All sitting here enjoying this nice warm sanctuary. If Tom and Brad had not used their giftings and fixed all this and finished hooking it up right here, the heat pump wouldn't have been, or the boiler system wouldn't have been on. And I bet it might have been a smidgen colder in here, because the other day it was down to 52 in the sanctuary before they had gotten that fixed. Because I walked in this morning and I was like, wow, it's already warm in here. Why isn't it colder? And then I walked up and realized that they had gotten it fixed. I mean, every one of us that teach in Sunday school class, the people that sing in the choir, people that work on the finance, I mean, all of the different things, people that give, people that lead, people that show mercy, all of these varieties of things. And here's the reason why. For both Luke and Paul, grace, here's what grace does, that favor, that gift. It creates a bond or connection between us and God and each other. Each other. So what's our response to that? Our response to such grace is thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your grace in my life. Thank you, God. Why? Because each of us has received of God's grace in one form or another. And it's only natural for us to reciprocate with various expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving. You know, when we share in our worship, when we share in our love, when we share trust, when we give, when we serve, all of these ways are natural ways that we reciprocate what God has done for us. Now, we don't do those things to earn more grace, but what we do is we respond to God's grace in our lives. And so that's what God has done. So what is that? What is all of this about then, living in God's goodness because we're extensions of grace? Well, it's this: the church as a grace family. That's what we are. You know, some families are known for money. The Rockefellers, Bill Gates, who else can I think of? Warren Buffett. I mean, you know, which family's known for Walmart? The Walden family. I mean, we can go on. You probably know families that they were known for certain maybe woodworking things they did or whatever they do. But God wants a church that's known for grace. Why? Why is that? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons real quick. First of all, grace creates an atmosphere of trust. You cannot have trust in any family without grace being in operation. Trust is the invisible glue that binds us together in Christ. The opposite of that would be things like control and fear. And what do those things do? Those things undermine trust and love. But grace causes them to flourish, causes trust and love to flourish. Another one is grace gives us, and I love this one, and this one struck me. I changed my, in the middle of my message, I changed it all so I could put this in here. Grace gives us room to grow. Grace creates an atmosphere for learning so that we can discover our gifts and giftedness that God has for us and our callings and what we're supposed to be involved with and how we're supposed to be a blessing in people's lives. And grace makes room for that. I mean, okay, this is going to be real dumb, but I'm going to say it anyways because it'll get the point across. How many of you, the first time your kid was trying to walk and they fell down, smacked them and said, "No, that's not how you walk"? See, you're looking at me like, is he crazy? No, I wouldn't tell you to hit your kid, and I never did anything like that. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? And yet, some of us in the church, and some of us have the view of God, that's how God deals with us. Just waiting to punish us because we messed up. No. It makes, grace makes room for mistakes along the way. Nobody gets it right the first time. Nobody gets it right many times. Even after we've been walking with the Lord for years, we sometimes still don't get things right. And why is it that we need that grace? So we may grow in our faith and in our giftings. And forgive along the way. We all know that in our own families, don't we? When we get upset with each other, we get upset with our kids, or our kids get upset with us, or whatever. Grace has got to be there, and that's all part of it. And then the third thing is grace is reciprocal. It's a giving back and forth. In the church, that's how we live. That's how we live as Christians. It's got to be both ways. Think of it this way, in connection with a gift, as I define grace as gift. As we give, we receive. As we receive, we are able to give again. When I help you, you help me. When I pray for you, or when you pray for me, I pray for you. It's reciprocal. Now, I don't pray for you because you prayed for me. You see the difference? I pray for you and you pray for me. It's a reciprocal thing, back and forth. When I encourage you, you encourage me. Grace creates an atmosphere for God's goodness to flourish. And when we share our gifts, in the body of Christ and even out into the world, we contribute not only to the body of Christ, but also to others, and we are all blessed and encouraged in the process. Such mutual sharing builds up and forms a family of grace and goodness. So, when God calls us and gifts us in various ways, God, as I shared last week, with empathy, God is offering us an opportunity to extend grace to others and build up people. Don't ignore what God is calling you to do. So if you get that prompting to go do something, someone may need what you give that day. God is looking not for perfect people. Because here's the thing, and I've said this many times as a pastor, if God waits for us to get perfect before God uses people, guess what? God is not going to be using any people. Yeah, that's right. So God's not looking for perfect people. God is looking for people who will act when God calls and gifts. And if we're going to enjoy the goodness of God, we need to walk in our grace gifts and say, Lord, use me for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead then, and we're going to stand together as we get ready to close out. And we're going to go right in. I think we're going to go right in because we're a little over today because we had a slow start at the beginning. And go ahead and close out with our final hymn this morning. If you'll turn to 216 or you can follow along, we're going to do verses 1 and 2 of We Will Glorify the King of Kings this morning. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. Let's sing the first verse again. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Well, let's join together for our benediction this morning. Go forth in peace and share God's goodness with others.
We serve the Lord with joy and grace.
Go forth, knowing God's blessings have been poured upon us so that we may be a blessing to others. Amen. Amen.